Well, happy new liturgical year. Aren't you excited? Aren't you ready to pull out the noisemakers and put on the funny hats and have a party? This is a time to celebrate. It's a new year. Now, in just a few weeks, we will observe the secular new year, which of course will be filled with parties and hats and noisemakers and all sorts of jollity and levity. But that would also seem to be appropriate for a new church year, too, especially as the season we start today, Advent, is leading us up to our commemoration of the birth of the Christ child. Talk about an occasion for revelry and merriment and joy and cheer. Indeed, this whole ethos of celebration is so powerful, so compelling, that it has permeated the wider culture, even if it has been stripped of any religious significance. We are told that we should be joyful, that we should believe, that we should be happy. It's that time of year, my friends. Let's party. If that is the case, though, why on earth this reading from Mark chapter 13. I don't know about you, but hearing about the moon disappearing and the stars going out and heaven and earth passing from existence does not exactly sound like a cause for a party. It sounds rather apocalyptic, actually. And in case that didn't quite come across in Brian's reading of the lesson this morning, scholars of Scripture have dubbed this passage Mark's little apocalypse. Not little because the devastation and destruction will be any smaller than in a full-scale prime-time apocalypse, but because it's short, it's pithy, and it's to the point. Why preach the apocalypse at the beginning of Advent? What is Scripture telling us that we need to hear as we enter into this new season? Something big is coming down the pike. Something that's going to change the world. Something that is going to overturn our familiar existence. All true. But we've heard this before, haven't we? We hear this kind of thing each year at Advent. It's part of the familiar traditions. We will sing certain hymns. We will engage in certain liturgies. We will have particular fellowship activities. It all will be very familiar and comforting, hopefully eliciting warm memories from years gone by. It will ground us in a world that is ever changing and ever more confusing. That's all good. But there's a danger in the familiar. Tradition can be a trap. If we hear the same things over and over and over again, we may stop paying attention. And if this is true for folks sitting in the pews, it's especially so for the preacher. Give us a liturgical season, marry it to the lectionary, and we can go right onto autopilot. We know what the message is we're supposed to share this week. One of my mentors in ministry, Ron Johnson, observed to me when I was first thinking about going into ministry that every preacher ultimately has one sermon that he or she gives. This was an observation shared by a man who at that point had already been in the ministry for 2.5 or 3 decades. One sermon. Now, in the best of all worlds, that's because there is a message that shapes and molds and defines the preacher's understanding of the gospel. And that person is so excited about that, that he or she tries to infuse it into his or her preaching. In situations that are less desirable, it might be because the pastor has gotten lazy and just says the same thing over and over again. Advent offers us an opportunity to look at things anew. Jesus tells us something big is happening. It's going to happen soon. Don't quite know when, but it's going to happen soon. Now, we may hear these words and think, wait a moment. These words were preached 2,000 years ago. That doesn't seem very soon to us. And we church types might say, yes, but we should be thinking about things in terms of human time. God's got his own timeline. Or we might say, well, wait, don't we know exactly when it's going to happen? December 24th, Christmas Eve? Well, yes. But in both instances, we miss the larger point of what is unfolding here. We hear the Son of Man descending from heaven in judgment, gathering his people from the four corners of the earth. Try to imagine that for a moment. What would that look like? What would that be like? I'm not feeling very happy at the moment. I'm a little scared. And yet this Son of Man who is coming down from heaven, who our tradition identifies as Jesus Christ, is the one who is going to be coming to us as a frail infant. A little baby. God doesn't choose to just show up as some full-grown man ready to take on the powers that be, to wreak havoc. No. The creator of the universe, the one who can render judgment on us all, chooses to come to be with us as a child, as a baby, to share our existence. This God is huge and awesome and strange and wondrous. And if we think we are ready for Christmas right now, we are delusional. We have this season of the church, this Advent time, so we can get ready. So we can prepare. We can think of Advent as being a journey. And our destination is going to be Christmas. Now, we've all gone on journeys long and short. It's not like one of those short journeys across Colburn Park to Lebanon Opera House. I could get there and realize I forgot my wallet and keys back here at the church, come back, get them, and return in just a few minutes. That's easy. It really doesn't need any preparation. No, this is like a journey to China. One does not go off to Beijing without some planning and preparation. Perhaps the development of an itinerary. One might want to study a little bit of the language. One might need to save up to buy the tickets. And if someone were to come and say, I may have some tickets for you to go on this trip, but I'm not quite sure when they're going to be available. If we were interested in going, we would make sure we were ready to go on this trip of a lifetime. We would take the time to prepare. We would clear the decks. That's what Advent is for. For this journey towards Christmas. This journey to meet the Christ child who comes to upend and transform everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at the world today and I think we would benefit from some transformation. Whether it's politics or health or economics or the environment or sports, whatever. We can all come up with our own laundry lists of just how we are going somewhere in a handbasket. And we may wonder how we've gotten into that basket. Something is coming to help us free. But it's going to be on God's terms. Now, we can talk about change and transformation in the church, how it can affect individuals and communities, all we want, and those can sound like great fancy words. But just as a moment ago, I asked you to imagine what it would be like to see the Son of Man descending from the heavens. Imagine that for a moment. It should blow your mind away. Just imagine now what it would be like if we lived as if we believed that were actually a possibility. We read these words, and all too often we think it's a wonderful image. Good message here. And as a result, we don't live as if it could happen. But imagine if we really, really, really believed that Jesus was coming. That God wanted to be here with us right now. Imagine how we might live our lives. Imagine how we might reorder our priorities, reevaluate our relationships. None of this is easy. But imagine how we and the world would be changed. That is what Advent is all about. That's what we're getting ready for. Not a big dinner party. Not the swapping of presents, as nice as that can be. Not some over-the-top Christmas Eve services, which can be wonderful and fulfilling. We're getting ready for God to come into our world and to work in us and through us, to do amazing and wonderful things. This time of Advent is meant to help us see things differently. And sometimes we don't need a huge cosmos-changing event to help us get a glimpse of what the world can be like when we take a moment to catch our breath and to appreciate what God has done for us. We came back from a few days away yesterday. The first sign I have of how generosity just happens without anybody looking for it was a plowed driveway. We were in New York, land without snow. It was wonderful. But we heard about all the snow you received here. We heard about the power outages. And I have to confess, I really wasn't looking forward to shoveling out the driveway after a drive of a few hours. One of our neighbors, God bless her, knew we were away, brought her plow over, and cleared out our driveway. It's a gift. Now, our front walk wasn't cleared off. Which is fine. So I asked Chip if he would be interested in shoveling out that walk while I did some other clearing of the car. There was snow on top of that. Now he had other ideas. He took his shovel And he decided to create what he calls the observation path around the parsonage. And it gives that people could walk around and enjoy the snow and the house and all the wonderful things of this time of year. Now, as I was getting ready to walk out of the house this morning, just a couple of minutes after 7 o'clock, I try to get my head in the game for worship and be focused on what's happening here. He says, "Dad, would you be willing to walk the observation path just to make sure it's okay and that the snow hasn't fallen in?" Of course, I'm thinking, this is the last thing I need right now. I've got to go. I said, "Sure, I'll do that." And my first instinct when I went out there was to just walk as quickly as I could so I could get in the car and drive away. But while I was out there, I just found myself walking slowly and looking at the snow on the ground and the sole leaf hanging from the branch and taking the time to just appreciate the stillness and the quiet of a Sunday morning. I had a moment to recenter myself, to ground myself. That was an Advent moment. I had to set aside my agenda, my busy schedule, my impulses, my urges. But I was rewarded for doing that. And I felt God's presence. Not easy to do. We need to focus. We need to be alert. Keep awake, Jesus tells us. Anybody who has driven on the road late at night, anybody who has gone to the late show, knows that requires extra concentration. It requires effort. It requires a willingness to set everything else aside. But the payoffs are always huge. We get to where we want to go. We see the end of the film and see how the story turns out. This Advent, let's take a moment. Let's set aside the distractions. Let's concentrate. Let's be intentional. Let's keep awake.